Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Mobile Kintec studio at Rogers Arena for the final time this season, at least during the regular season, as we'll probably be here later this week when they do locker room exit day.
Yeah.
And get some of that, some exclusive interviews as the Canucks send it off for the summer. They will not be playoff bound, as we have known for a little while. But tonight, we get the finale between the Canucks and the Vegas Golden Knights, and we're in the Mobile Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. It was a beautiful day. Beautiful day. Spring. Walked over for the final time this year. Like, it's lovely.
It was. I mean, probably not the final time. Friday.
Yeah.
You'll be walking over again.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll walk over for Friday's exit meeting.
It's supposed to be really nice on Friday. So you'll be walking.
Some would say golfing weather.
It actually is.
But it's just not going to be plausible. And I also have the yips.
You do?
Yeah.
What happened?
No, I don't know. Elias Pettersson got to me.
Classic reach, blaming somebody else. So do you have yips off the tee on the green?
Honestly.
With your irons? Like, what's going on? Or just in general?
So yesterday I got invited to a BC golf event. Yeah. And I played out at Riverway. Mm-hmm. And it was a great event. Riverway is an amazing course. It's honestly, for what you pay to play at Riverway and how great of a course it is for a municipal golf mm-hmm. course, as a public course, it's unbelievable. And they're going to have the BC Championship there next year. And so I get invited to the event, and I'm like all giddy, getting ready to play, yeah, on the range before the round, looking great. Oh, the guys are like, oh, you like, you scratch? Oh, no. No.
But it was you hitting it well, yeah.
Oh, you're striping it. And then we got to the course, and yeah, I couldn't do anything. I got the yips. I was all in my head, man. It was bad.
Did they get in your head by saying that you look
maybe
good? Really? Were you thinking about it now? You have to impress them now?
I was like, man, I got to impress these people now. They think I'm actually good. This is bad.
You know how we
this
talk?
This is really bad.
You know how people say, like, compliments are good? People should give compliments? Like, sometimes compliments are, like, not good in this case.
And then I was like, yep, I guess I just got the yips.
Yeah.
And they were like, don't say that word. Well,
it's too late
now. All right, let's get to the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Four! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is maybe the door is still slightly ajar, slightly open for Brock Besser to remain with the Vancouver Canucks. I know this has been billed and been talked about as the final game mm-hmm. for Brock Besser at Rogers Arena. Folks on Canucks social media, Canucks fans coming to the rink, deciding what they can do to serenade Brock here at the rink with a chant of some kind, maybe thank you Besser with yeah. 6 minutes left in the third period, something to that effect. And while there is still a good possibility it is Brock Besser's final game as a Vancouver Canuck, it is not entirely certain that that is the case. As you've been saying, Sat, it's probably going to happen where the Canucks go back to Brock and try to get something done before he hits free agency.
Yeah, the door never fully closed. And yeah, I would agree with your point that it seems unlikely, like Brock himself admitted.
Yeah.
But we'll play the clip here coming up in a bit for about what he specifically said today about his situation and what could happen with a new contract potentially. The door hadn't yet closed, and at least I knew that from the organization's perspective. And I have always wondered if the Canucks have still put their best foot forward contractually.
Mm.
Which is interesting because clearly there was a price that they were willing to take for him at the deadline.
Yeah.
That price was not met, mm-hmm. which means there was a price they liked trading him at as the first option. But there is a second option where they would have liked, I think they like keeping him as well. But it has to work as far as the way they view it contractually. But I do think there is one more kick at the can here coming from Vancouver.
A negotiation still to happen. Here's what Brock Besser had to say today about this potentially being his final game.
It's tough to say. Like, you never know what can happen. We'll see what happens. Like I said, I'm sure they'll talk with my agent after the season and I'll see if anything can come to an agreement or not. But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely going to be the thoughts, and I'm going to just try and take it in with my teammates. And, yeah, I mean, you really never know at the end of the day, so I don't really want to fully think that it could be my last game. So I'm just going to, just take it as another game and finish here.
There is Brock Besser speaking with assembled reporters today after the morning skate, and anything can happen. So he does not want to close the door on this chapter yet of his career.
Yeah, and I think Besser all along has wanted to stay.
Yes.
It was clear he was hurt by what happened at the deadline.
Yep.
And what was or wasn't said and all that. Like he was clearly upset about it to some degree. Mm-hmm. Was it a bit overstated perhaps by some? Maybe. We don't know. We're not Brock. But I don't think at any point
it came off harsh. No matter however it was intended from Patrick Alvin, it did come off harsh.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're on the receiving end of it, you're probably going to feel some way about it.
Yes.
Now, varying degrees. Yeah. Maybe you brush it off, but it's still something. But I don't think it was anything that got to the point where he said, screw this, I don't want to be back. And I think it's pretty evident that he wants to stay. So I think as long as he wants to stay, there's a willingness. And it just comes down to money.
Yeah.
Okay, so Besser wants 7 to 8 years.
Yeah.
The Canucks haven't moved off 5.
Mm-hmm.
Do they meet at 6?
Can we meet in the middle at 6?
It doesn't make anybody happy, but that's what a compromise is.
Yeah. I think the total value plays a factor, too. Like we talked about in the past, some of the projections putting Brock at potentially in line for something in the area of $63 million in free agency.
Yeah.
Now, that might be overstated by said analytical projections, but could he get 55? 56 from a desperate team looking for a goal scorer in their 20s, and really it's Brock, Nick Ehlers, and Mitch Marner, and there's quite a bit of a drop-off after that in free agency.
So the Canucks...
only takes one team.
Right. So reportedly they offered 8 times 5, 5 years. So that's
40 million.
40 million, which is some ways away from 60 million.
Yeah.
Now, to your point, I don't know if that's what he truly gets, but it's clear that the Besser camp is operating under the assumption that he can get 50 million plus.
Yeah.
What is that, 50, 49, or 51, 53, 55? Like, it's in that range. I'd say it's anywhere from 49 to 55. Like, that's what I would say Besser's free agency range is. So you have to get close. So if you add a year to that latest offer, 6 years, 8 million, that's 48 million. Now, we can get into the conversation about whether that's prudent or not from Vancouver's perspective, but I'm just talking about what could happen and what the number could look like. And that could be the Canucks' best foot forward. Like, I don't think they want to go above 50 million.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are they willing to go to 48, 49? If they do, is that enough for Besser to say, you know what, maybe I can get a bit more, but it's close enough that I'll stay?
You know, 6 by 8 would be 48 million. So then you get into the ballpark. Could you extend the term even further and go 7 by 7? And that's 49 million plus. You save an extra $1 million on the cap. To me, that sounds, honestly, it sounds more palatable. Like, I don't love giving the 7-year term, having Brock locked in until his age 35 season. That is quite the commitment on the term side, but given, not that the Canucks have huge amounts of cap constraints, but you do have the 2-year penalty for Oliver Ekman-Larsson that's coming up. It's going to be near $5 million against the cap. If you can save an extra $1 million for these next 2 years, like, that doesn't sound like the worst idea to me.
I don't disagree from a dollars and cents standpoint for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
I'd just be surprised that the Canucks go from we're not moving off 5 years to all of a sudden 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'm sure the AAV plays a part. If it's low enough, they'll say okay. But like we talked about before, it comes down to the total amount of money.
Yeah.
That's what matters here more than anything else, right? And are the Canucks willing to spread that out over 7 years? I'd just be surprised given their posture. Like, and
It would be a pretty stark contrast to everything we've heard about what they want to do with Brock.
Yeah, like, again, 6 is still might be a little bit, but if you're at 5, maybe, you know, you swallow it and just say, okay, fine.
Yeah.
We'll do it. But I'm just be surprised at 7. But with the cap going up, too, it's for the next – does $1 million really matter in the big picture? You may be maybe better off having a shorter-term deal because in 2 years the cap's going to go up so much that – we're not going to be worried about it. We spoke to Frank about this on Monday. With the way the cap is going to go up, and especially with how teams are going to have internal budgets, cap space isn't going to mean what it meant during the dead cap era the past few years, right? And when that edge is going to be gone in some ways, does it really matter? You may as well just save on the term as opposed to being, you know, too caught up on the AAV. And I think that's a reality a lot of teams will look at. And I think we'll see teams, especially teams that have financial might, to look at it and say, hey, we'll give you a 3-year deal at $10 million per year. There's big short-term deals, right? And they'll give you that money up front, kind of. And I think that's how teams are going to muscle their way out. So AAV may not matter as much in a couple years. But, you know, that's where things stand with Besser. And to your point, if Besser truly thinks he can get $60 million plus, then he's not signing in Vancouver.
Yeah, then it's hard, really difficult to bridge that gap.
So maybe, you know, we'll see if the Canucks get close. Again, I'd be shocked.
I don't think it's prudent to go that far on a contract for Brock Besser. But there is an element like, okay, put aside Brock's Canucks career. He's been, you know, by franchise history, he is a top 10 goal scorer. He's been really good from a production standpoint. The team's not really been good enough around him to really utilize to the best of its ability. And you only saw that for one season, really, where he scored the 40 goals last year.
That's why I don't think Besser is Jake Guentzel.
Yeah.
He's a step below that.
Yeah, because, you know, he's a piece of the puzzle, but he's not a large piece of the puzzle. Yeah. Or he's not one of the bigger pieces of the puzzle, I guess, is maybe a better way to put it. And that's what makes it difficult to go that high on a contract. But also, normally, you know, I think as a front office, you have to be willing to take chances and say goodbye to players and be okay with living in the unknown of like, okay, yeah. We can't just say with every player, like, oh, well, how are we going to replace them?
At some point, you have to face that reality.
At some point, you face that reality, and you have to figure it out.
Yeah.
With Brock, though, this offseason and where the Canucks are, you need 2 impact forwards at least. If you lose Brock, you need 3 impact forwards or 3 top 6 forwards, however you want to call it. And I just don't know where you're getting that from.
Well, you're not going to do it all in 1 year. Like, I think it's going to be difficult to just get the one winger and the one center to begin with.
Yeah.
Let alone trying to do all 3 in one offseason, right? And I think if you actually keep Besser and just get the one center or the one winger at least, you're not there, but now you're maybe one piece away.
Yeah. And you can go into next year maybe thinking about, all right, how do we do this? Similar to how they did it last year where, like, okay, we're going to go into the year trying to figure out how do we add another big piece on defense.
And here's the frustrating part. Like, you're just trying to get to the same point you were at to begin last year.
Yeah.
Where you're looking at it and saying, hey, we're one move away from maybe contending.
Yeah.
And you felt good about the trajectory.
And then the season went sideways.
Yeah. And now, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen. But that's kind of what you're hoping for at this stage. Like, you're hoping that you can get to that level and then be competitive next year, and maybe at the deadline be able to add that piece, but at least get close enough that you have success, and then Quinn looks at the next offseason and says, you know what, like we might be able to do this.
Yeah.
And
one of the issues that just always seems to come up is like, well, the way that you're doing this, it's always robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, you came into the year, you wanted to add on defense, prices were high, you weren't willing to pay those prices early in the season, so you didn't pay it, and the season started to go sideways, and in more ways than one, you finally got your defenseman in Marcus Pettersson, but you had to move JT Miller in order to do that, but now you've opened up a gaping hole in your forward group. So it's just, it's always like, there's always one area that the organization has to fix that and when they go to try to fix that, they open another hole by trying to do that.
Well, and, you know, for a moment, the hope had been, is it possible that you're solving that center position, maybe not to the caliber of JT, but to some degree with Filip Hedl?
Yeah.
And it looked so promising to begin with. And even towards the end, when you know we were nitpicking his game a bit and talking about some of his shortcomings, he was still playing at a top six level. Like, he was still playing as a second line center.
Yes.
And he was doing a lot of positive things, but he had some flaws, like a lot of second line centers do, because that's why you're not a front line top end type of center. But you can do a lot of positive things, especially his speed, his zone entries, and just how he adds another dimension to this Canucks team that needs that, right? But now the question comes down to Hedl and his health overall. And I don't think, like we talked about, he's going to be that piece reach that's going to be part of a trade. I think that's meaningful because of the concussion issues that he's had. But can he be a player himself that helps this team, or is he damaged goods? Because I think part of that equation is internally, you know, we talk about who can be an internal guy, and the one guy we didn't mention the other day was Filip Hedl.
Well,
are we that out on him after suffering the concussion?
I'm not. You know, I know he's like, there's no other option here other than he's a part of the Vancouver Canucks.
Right. And
he's got no trade value after the most recent injury. I know what Tocchet had said today, that he had a virus at the time that maybe made the symptoms seem worse than they actually were, and he feels really good about where he's at right now, and he was in a full practice, full contact uniform today during the morning skate. Obviously, he won't play, but, you know, he goes into the summer kind of almost with a clean bill of health, given how he's progressed here over the last week. And, you know, like, your better bet is this guy is a part of this roster next year, and we have to hope he realizes some of his potential to be a big contributor on this team.
So how big a piece is he of that deal, and how much responsibility should the organization bear for taking on the risk of that player if it doesn't work out with him?
A lot. Ultimately, he wasn't the biggest piece of the deal. I still look at it as he was kind of the make weight in the deal, salary-wise,
so is
with
it like,
potential, though.
So is he viewed as a centerpiece or a bonus piece, so you don't care about the outcome, so to speak?
He's a bonus piece. The centerpiece was the first-round pick.
Yeah, and I mean, and where Mancini's looked promising.
Yeah.
Was he the second-best piece in that deal?
It's probably a toss-up because at the end of the day, Mancini, like, I like him. Don't get me wrong. Love the Italian flavor on the Canucks roster.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's right now he's kind of a third-pair tweener between the AHL and the NHL for me.
Yeah, and it's, you know, even the coach talks about how raw he is. Like, he's playing a lot of games this year.
Yeah.
With Vilander, you know, if he signs here and does come over.
He's not guaranteed to be on the roster come October.
Yeah,
Mancini.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it may be hard for him to come back up here, depending on what the blue line looks like, and health obviously playing a big part in it.
Kronik, Myers, Vilander, maybe they sign a right shot D-man. Who knows?
Right. So it's, you know, I think with him, you know, we'll see. But it's been promising. There's a lot to like, especially for a guy who was drafted in 2022 in the fifth round. But for Hedl, to me, reach, it just comes down to one thing ultimately. Can he learn to play a safer game? And I don't mean by not taking risks. It's like, can you keep your head up?
Yeah.
And when you're along the boards, understanding how to position your skates and how to protect yourself?
He's almost got some, like, I don't mean this as a comp as to, like, you know, their production. But, like, he's got some Lindros in his game where he just plays with his head down too much.
Yeah. And there were a lot of times this year where guys let him off the hook. The league isn't what it used to be.
No.
Where if you had your head down, like, teams would look to punish
Scott
you.
Stevens isn't waiting there at the blue line with an elbow for you.
But every once in a while, somebody will. So every once in a while, somebody will decide to step up.
And Jacob Trouba is in the division now.
Yeah. And so if he doesn't fix that, he's not going to have a long, healthy career.
Yeah. It's it is curious. I think he has next to no trade value, and there is a lot of talent there. Can you get, you know, if he plays a full complement of games during the season, like, I see a 50-point player there.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
not insignificant.
No, I think he can score 20 to 25 goals in a season with increased ice time. He'd probably get, I'd say the highest range is probably 60 points if he's on the power play and things really click. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think 25-25 type guy, 20-30
like, there's
guy.
More offensive potential in Filip Hedl than there would be in Sam Bennett.
Yeah.
But Sam Bennett brings a lot of other things.
Yeah, I mean, he's the better center, there's no doubt. And ultimately with Hedl, is he going to be better suited at playing wing?
Yeah. And now, that's a problem you can figure out, like, if you find another center. But right now, he's your second-line center going into next season.
Yeah, but I think that's the one thing long-term, if you add a center, you can maybe think about.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think his play style, too, is very much suited for the middle because of how he, how he likes to skate the puck up ice and do it through the middle of the ice as often as he does. So I think it would have to be a big adjustment to his game to some degree.
Yeah.
Unless because he's going to be a very puck-dominant player on the wing no matter what, right? But I just hope he can be healthy. That's ultimately all I hope for this player, is that he can figure out a way to protect himself better.
It is the Canuck Central Roundup. A couple of news and notes as we get into Kevin Woodley here, who's going to join us in just a little bit. Kevin Lankinen will start the final game of the season, one of the MVPs for the Vancouver Canucks this year, but ultimately not the MVP, because that is one Quinn Hughes. The Calgary Flames out of playoff contention despite their shootout win last night. The Blues and Wild both did enough to clinch their playoff spots last night. Blues went 24-3 to finish with 96 points.
Yeah,
in their final 27 games.
Yeah, and I know you kept talking about somebody's going to get hot, and the Blues really got hot. And it looked like the playoff bar may have been the low 90s, and it got to the mid-90s.
Well, we were talking about it. It's like, if you can get to 92, you're probably in.
Yeah.
And Canucks could still get to 92, and they're going to miss by quite a bit.
They could miss anywhere. Because they don't have the tiebreaker, it would be like 5 points, really.
Yeah.
Or as much as like 7 points if they don't get the 2 points.
The West playoff matchups are set. Winnipeg will get St. Louis. The Vegas Golden Knights will take on Minnesota. Dallas, Colorado, which is, I think, circled for everybody as the first round matchup to watch. And the LA Kings will be up against the Edmonton Oilers for a fourth consecutive year. They do have home ice advantage this time around. The only difference is, that would be if it were a 1-8 matchup set, is Dallas would play Edmonton and the Kings would play Colorado in the first round. So you wouldn't have the Dallas-Colorado situation popping up if this were the traditional 1-8 seeding of the playoffs.
Yeah, it is unfortunate that we're seeing this matchup now as opposed to seeing it in the second round.
Because that's happy we get it, at least.
You know? We are. That is true. Because when we always talk about that, I wish we got it later. It's like, there's no guarantee you would have got it later.
Yeah.
You know, so you're right. The fact that we're getting it in the first round is going to be great. And nobody's going to benefit more than the winner of the Jets series.
The East playoffs, not quite set yet, but it will be if Montreal can close out the win. They've got a 1-0 lead on Carolina right now. They just need one single point to clinch their playoff berth, Les Habitants.
Do you think they do it?
Well, they blew it the other night against Chicago, so I'm not willing to I'm not willing to say that they'll close this out right now.
And the Blue Jackets won too, right? Yeah. Last night. So, and I'm not putting it past them to win their final game. I hope the Habs make it. I want to see the Habs in the playoffs.
We'll talk more about the playoff matchups as we get closer to the playoffs, which start on Saturday. Coming up, Kevin Woodley, our goalie guru, is going to join us. His take on Thatcher Demko, Kevin Lankinen, and much more next on Canuck Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.